Who do you want to be the next president of the United States of America? Don't tell me I want a Republican. Don't tell me I want a Democrat. Which of those two candidates is most suited to lead America into the future, to handle any crisis that comes our way? Today, on Precepts for Life, I'd like to give you 10 things for you to consider before you make your choice. Believe that this is our last program on America at the Crossroads. And I have a lot to cover. As a matter of fact, I could go on for one more week. But I want you to take these programs and I want you to share them with others. I would suggest that you get the DVDs and that you sit down with others in your neighborhood and listen to these programs. Get the study guide that is still available. Just go to preceptsforlife.com. Or pick up the phone and call 1-800-763-1990. That's 1-800-763-1990. And get the study guide and do it with a group so that you are prepared for this election that is coming up. America is at the crossroads, and if we take the wrong path, we're going to go off of a cliff, and we are going to self-destruct, and God is going to allow that because we have disobeyed Him, because we have not honored Him as God. So it is time for you and me to get active, to rally people around the Word of God, around the truth of God, around the precepts for life, so that they can get understanding and so that there is a biblical hatred for that which is wrong. You know, God spoke to Jehoshaphat when he allied himself with an ungodly king. And he said, should you help the wicked? He says, don't you know that I'm against you when you help the wicked? We cannot help the wicked. We have to stand for righteousness. So this is a wonderful ministry that you could have. I mean, you could literally do it in 2 days. You could adapt it. You can do it at a conference. But you need to get these principles and precepts down. Now, we've looked at Ezekiel chapter 22. In Ezekiel chapter 22, we have seen the judgment of God upon Israel. We know why. I don't even have time to review it. But then we have also seen that God looks at the leadership of Judah at that time. He looks at the priests. He looks at the prophets. He looks at the princes. And he looks at the people. And he sees that the leadership is corrupt and that the people are corrupt. God is looking through all of them, looking for a man. Where is there a man? Where can I find a man that will stand in the gap, that will build up the wall so that I won't come and destroy that land? And he says, I looked and I couldn't find anyone. Now listen, we have the truth. And we have to be able to say, hey, here I am, God, here I am. Listen to me, and I will rally others, and I will teach them truth. Now listen to what he says in verse 31. When he couldn't find a man, he says, I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way, listen very carefully, their way I have brought on their heads. In other words, you got what you deserved. You sowed to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. So what do we do? Well, let me give you these 10 things to consider. It's a perfect 10. So just remember, you need 10 of them. You know, one for each finger on your hands. The next president of the United States of America should be evaluated according to number one, how do they compare, these two candidates compare in respect to their character, in respect to their values, in respect to their integrity. Now, you can't just listen to the campaign speech. It just irritates me sometimes. I listen to a speech, then I listen to the news commentator, and the news commentator tells me what I just heard, but he heard it different than I heard it. Do not listen to the media. Sort that out. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But you evaluate their character, their values, their integrity, the fact that they're going to stand by their principles and not waver from them. You judge them not just on the basis of what they're saying to get elected, but on the basis of their history, on the basis of their life. You say, well, there was a day when they weren't a Christian and a day when they became a Christian. Can you tell when they became a Christian? Was there a great change in their life? Then judge them from the time that they became a Christian. But just know this, that if any man is a genuine Christian, there is a change in his life. He becomes a new creature. So if they had this terrible past, but they have had a 180 in their life, a 180 turn, and they are walking in righteousness, then judge them from that point. You say, we're not to judge. Oh, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. Remember that. So, number two, what's the second thing? You need to look at their voting record. The voting record tells you what they value, what they're willing to stand for or stand against. For instance, the hate crimes legislation that would forbid me from saying that homosexuality is a sin or adultery is a sin or that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because the Bible says all of that. Hate crimes legislation would say, you say that and you are going to be fined and you are going to go to court and you will probably go to prison. It's happened in Canada. It's happened in other countries. So when the hate crimes legislation came up and it was attached to a defense bill, and when they asked Ted Kennedy, why did you attach this hate crimes legislation, because they couldn't get it passed on its own, why did you attach it to the defense bill? He says, well, he says, it's just domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism for me to say what the Bible says? Oh, no. So you need to ask, what is their stand on abortion? What is their stand on homosexuality? You want to look at their values. Which one has the values that are the closest to the Word of God? Collectively closest to the Word of God. You've got to know that the next president of the United States of America will appoint the head of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. That head will be the deciding vote. There are five members. And the minute that President Bush is out of office, the minute that the next president is elected, although he does not take his position until January, that minute the FCC chairman is gone. So who do you want elected? Which president, which man do you want to elect the head of the FCC? Because it's going to have a lot to determine whether we have freedom of speech or not. The third thing that I want you to see is you need to analyze the promises that they make. In campaign speeches, you can make a lot of big promises, and everybody cheers if it's the promise that they want. But the question is, they make the promise, but can they keep them? Can they really do what they say they're going to do? And why wasn't it done before? You have to ask those questions. There was an excellent article in Christianity Today. It was called How to Pick a President. I would suggest you go online and you get that issue of that magazine. And it is an article that's written by Daniel Taylor, who is the professor of English at Bethel University in St. Paul, and Mark McCluskey, who is the professor of ministry leadership at Bethel Seminary. It's an excellent, excellent article. And one of the things that they remind you of, here they are making promises, but can they keep those promises? Promises, promises. I mean, we can give promises all day long, and gullible people will believe them. But the thing is, can they be executed? The fourth thing that I want you to ask about the president, or the one that you're going to vote for, is what is their experience that can help them handle unprecedented events? What experience do they have? Let's say that a war with Iran is, that Iran is threatening us. Okay, who do you want to make that decision? Who has the background, the savvy, the experience? Who has the character? Who's going to be a person that is going to listen to others? Because the Bible tells us that wise men seek godly counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So you just don't run off with your own decision. The fifth thing that you need to ask is, how important is power to this person? Can they handle pride? Because pride goes before a fall. You study about Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you find a great king by the name of Uzziah, a great king that is used to bring prosperity to Judah like they have not experienced since the days of Solomon. They were great days. He was a man that was wise, that built up his army, that fortified Jerusalem. But there was something that happened in his life. And right after this important announcement, and it is very important, I don't want you to miss it, and you don't want to miss it. Right after that, you and I are going to look at what happened to Uzziah, and you'll see the importance of power, the love of power, or the pride of life.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved, and you are beloved. I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for studying with us. Thank you for wanting to do what is right. Thank you for wanting to live not under the dictates of the world, but live according to every word that comes out of God's mouth. Thank you for wanting to be like Jesus, for denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him. I know that God is going to bless you. Well, let's go back to number five, the fifth thing that you need to consider before you cast your vote for the president of the United States of America. That fifth thing was, how important is power to that person? Can they handle pride? because pride exalts a person, and when they're in that place of exaltation, they are very, very vulnerable. Remember, I was talking about Uzziah and how God blessed Judah under his leadership. He was the king. He was the president, so to speak. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26, he continued to seek the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. It's not that we have to be perfect. But we seek God, and when we seek God, God sees our heart. And so everything goes well for Uzziah. And it says in Jerusalem, in verse 15, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. You've got to find a man. Which one of these two is experienced enough and has enough integrity to not seek his own power, to not be caught up in pride? Number 6, what will they do? Which one will come closer to doing what is right no matter what? The cost. What is right, no matter the cost? Are they willing to suffer the wrath of the media? Are they willing to make the best decision for the United States of America, although it may not be the most popular decision? Do you know the way the media got a lot of things through and turned around was they took polls and they gave false information. Do you know that President Clinton would send out and he would have a poll taken and find out which way the public was going, and then he would make his decision? That cannot be. You've got to choose the man who is going to stand for what is right, no matter the cost, who is willing to put his bid for the presidency on the line by being a man of integrity and speaking what is right and what in identifying what is wrong. Number 7, how do they handle their opponents? Look at the men. How do they handle their opponents? What are they saying, not only in public, but how do they handle them in private? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, God tells us how we are to behave toward our enemies. We are to behave and we are to be mature as our Heavenly Father is mature. In Titus chapter 3, he tells us that this is the way that we are to look at our authorities. He says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Not as a means to get elected, but that's because that's what their character is. All right? Number 8, you need to beware of the media. Do not let the media determine who you are going to vote for. You can know that they have an agenda. As a matter of fact, on September the 30th, 2000, in the year 2000, we saw little Muhammad Al-Dura being shot and being held by his father. Israel said, we didn't mean to do that, and they took the blame, and then they realized, no, he couldn't have been shot by Israel fire at that angle. They did an investigation, and in the year 2003, they found out that that was staged, that that little boy never died. When they were looking at Jenin and they were talking about all the people that had been killed, they said that there were 300 deaths of Palestinians in that city. That was a lie. There were only 52 that died. And they had a boy that they were carrying out on a stretcher, and he fell off the stretcher as they were running. He got up. He was not injured at all. He had not been hit by fire. It was a ploy, and they refilmed it. Beware of the media. Number 9, remember, you are not perfect, and neither are the candidates. None of us is perfect except Jesus Christ. So seek the one who is willing to live out their values. Seek the one who is the man of proven integrity, who holds to principles and will not compromise those principles, although there is a way out or there's a payment or it's going to ease their life. So consider that. And finally, just know this, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a child of God. You're going to give an answer for the deeds done in your body. You're going to answer, and I'm going to answer, for the one that we voted for. Why did we vote? Did we vote for this person because they promise us that we're going to have health care? They promise us that they're going to take care of us economically. They promise us jobs. They promise everything about me, and yet they are a person that does not stand for the Word of God. Oh, beloved, there it is, 10 things that you need to consider. And finally, in your study guide, you're going to see Ezekiel chapter 9. Where God is calling the executioners to come and to judge Jerusalem. And among those executioners, there is a man with a writing case in his hand. And he calls that man with the writing case and he says, I want you to go out through the city and I want you to put a taw, a mark, a taw is like a cross, on the forehead of every man, every woman, young and old, every child that sighs and groans over all the abominations being committed in the midst of this city. I want you to mark the hearts of everyone who hates evil and who loves good and who weeps over it. And then, after you mark the foreheads, he calls the executioners and he says, go through the city and I want you to kill everyone. Don't spare if they're an old man or an old woman. Don't spare if they're a child. Put them to death if they don't have the mark, the taw on their forehead. What is God saying? God is saying that he is looking for people who align with him. And that's why we're calling you to prayer. That's why we're calling you to get together every Thursday at 12 noon and seek the face of God and cry out to God for this election. Keep praying all the way through Thanksgiving, which is on a Thursday. And then I pray that when Christmas comes, there will be a great celebration because there's a great awakening to righteousness in America. And there is a future for us and there is a hope because we're following as close to God as we can. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation. And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference. It's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. We'll be right back. Sit with me, my friend. Let's look for one final moment as we bring this series to a close at Ezekiel chapter 9. God's word to the executioners as he sends them forth. He says in verse 6, utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women. But do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. You start from the temple. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. Why? Because judgment begins in the house of God. And it says, as they were striking the people, verse 8, and I alone was left, I fell on my face and I cried out, alas, O Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem? And then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great. And this is true about the iniquity of the United States of America. And the land is filled with blood, and the city full of perversion. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land. The Lord does not see. He says, but as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. For I will bring their conduct upon their heads. Oh, beloved, may I challenge you. May I challenge you to take this series and to share it with others, to get the DVDs, to get the CDs, to get the study guide, and do a Bible study. Go into depth, in greater depth than I could go into on this series. And also pray for men and women of virtue. Pray that there will come upon our country a conviction of sin and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Pray that there will be a great awakening, another great awakening. Pray that people will gather for prayer and that God will look from heaven and hear their prayers and come down and act on our behalf. Pray that a new culture will be formed in the United States, a culture where of Christianity where Christ is over the culture, not adapting the culture, but creating that whole new culture that belongs to those that belong to Jesus Christ, so that Christianity is very easily seen in its distinctiveness from the world, from the current culture. Pray that people will not buy a lie. Pray that there will fall upon this nation a fear of God. And as 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells you, pray for all those in authority, and pray for this ministry. And thank you for your support. We really need it, and we really appreciate it. It's a partnership.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.